Talk Radio for Catholic Life to start your day.
Morning Air
on Relevant Radio with Glenn Leverenz. Here's your host, John Harper.
Good morning. 3 minutes after the hour. This is Tuesday, May 25th, 2021. Coming up in this hour of Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Among the things we'll talk about with Archbishop Bernard Hebda from the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, is today, 1 year after the death of George Floyd. It's a day of remembrance and a movement toward change. The Floyd family will be meeting with President Biden today in Washington, D.C., and we'll talk about the healing that is taking place in the Twin Cities in the Archdiocese. Of course, we followed that story from the very beginning, where some of the violence 1 year ago today and the days subsequent to the video that went around the world, that violence came very, very close to a number of parishes in the Archdiocese of St. Paul, Minneapolis, specifically in St. Paul. We'll talk about that and talk about healing with Archbishop Hebda. Also look at some great priestly ordinations. Vocations are through the roof in the Twin Cities. Thanks be to God. And also keep those fires of Pentecost alive. And those fires will be stoked when Father Rocky joins us this hour. Father Francis Hoffman, our Relevant Radio Executive Director, will be here answering your questions of faith here on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. And Glenn will have a fresh story corner in this hour. But we begin this brand new day in prayer. And we invite you to join us for the morning offering. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day for all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. 5 minutes after the hour now on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app, as we await making a connection with Archbishop Hebda. We are still living the glow of the Holy Spirit. I'm hopeful that you are. We were talking about that in the last hour of Morning Air, and I don't know about you, Glenn, but there was just something especially moving for the Holy Spirit in my life at the Vigil Mass on Saturday. And, you know, we have those seminal moments, I think, in our path to heaven. And that was indeed one of them. As a matter of fact, last week we were talking about how Pentecost, for me and my relationship with the Holy Spirit, has been something that's been a little extra special. But there were some Pentecost Sundays that really stood out. And that was one of them, to the point where yesterday people were saying, "What? Are you okay? What's different about you? There's something different about you." And I just said, "Yeah, it's the Holy Spirit in me." Now, a lot of those folks that I said that to were not Catholic, and they were going like, "What?" Or they understood what spirit was, Glenn, and then you can start talking about that. So you find yourself instantly evangelizing. And I think one of the other gifts of the Holy Spirit, at least in me, is when you start talking just simply from your heart about your faith, that's the best way to evangelize, because all you're doing, Glenn, is telling your story.
Yeah, and people can't refute your story. If you're worried in evangelizing about having to convince someone and to have all the knowledge of, say, a Patrick Madrid to answer every single question they might be asking, you can just tell your story. People can't refute that, and your enthusiasm will probably show through. I noted, too, this Pentecost Sunday, it was the first Sunday at Mass that we had no masks for the first time in over a year.
Yeah, wasn't that something?
And boy, just the joyful noise that everybody singing without cloth in front of their face made was pretty inspirational.
Well, in my case, you want a cloth in front of my face when I sing, although now I still wore a mask only because the doctor says you should still wear it because you got one kidney, you're a cancer survivor. So he said it's kind of belt and suspenders. You don't have to, but I would recommend it. And I'm saying, okay, let me do it. And I would say about half of the congregation had masks on, half did not. But the place was absolutely filled. It was wonderful not to see the tape on the floor, the tape on the pews, the ropes up, stand here, do this. It was just wonderful. It was joyful noise. The Holy Spirit was indeed palpable this morning. And also, you know, those moments when somebody says, hey, there's something different about you, and you find yourself in a position where you're instantly evangelizing, where you don't even think about it. We talk a lot about evangelizing and sharing the good news, and sometimes that's in a formal way. And you've had those conversations at the Thanksgiving table, at the Christmas table, at a picnic with your family and friends. But what are those times when you have found yourself in a situation where you're sharing your faith And it's like, wow, it's like breathing. 888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. Let's share those stories of moments when you just found yourself, bam, like that, in a position where you were sharing your faith. You became an instant evangelizer. And what happened for that person who is at the other end of you sharing who you are as a Roman Catholic man or woman and just sharing your faith with someone else in a very natural, genuine way? Let's share those stories at 888-914-9149. Remember a few weeks ago when Father Marcel Taillon was on, I was telling the story of, and this is true, because, you know, you get a million of those robocalls, and I picked up the phone because I saw the number, and it looked kind of familiar. And I know they try to have numbers now, these robocalls that look like it's, you know, someone in your neighborhood. So I said, let me pick up the phone. It was about 10:30 in the morning, and the woman at the other end of the phone said, no, don't hang up. This isn't really a robocall, but she said, I was just so moved to share some good news. Do you mind if I read you some Psalms on the phone? I am not making this up. When is the last time you got a call from a stranger who said, I just want to read you some Psalms? And I said, sure, go ahead. So she read a couple of Psalms, and I started talking to her. I said, are you Catholic? She said, no. I said, I'm Catholic. I said, well, you know, why did you do this? And she said, I just felt moved by, quote, the Spirit. All right? Not, you know, she wasn't of any denomination, but just felt spiritual. And how many of those people do we know who are, quote, spiritual, right? And there she was just sharing the good news. And so, of course, you know, we told that story on the air, and it leads us to this conversation about those times when you have found yourself in a situation where you're evangelizing. You're simply sharing your faith. Maybe it was at work. Maybe it was at bowling. Maybe it was just in a restaurant someplace. What was it? 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. It's easy. Glenn, at least you have your brother-in-law. That's built in every time there's a big holiday, because Glenn's brother-in-law is not really on the same wavelength as the rest of us in terms of faith. So it's always when they do the dishes, number one, the man who does the dishes, that's Glenn, but he's already spoken for. And I suppose your brother-in-law is already spoken for as well. But how do those conversations start where you find yourself evangelizing, and how do you turn around his mindset?
Well, you know, because of what we do each and every day, you know, we talk politics and religion, right? So we're not afraid to do that, even at dinner parties or on either side of a dinner party. And, you know, we make terrible guests, right? Because we talk about the stuff you're not supposed to. But he actually brings it up. I mean, it's funny that, you know, he knows where I work. He knows, you know, we can only get together, you know, at certain times and not earlier because of church commitments and the like. And so, you know, it's kind of known in the family. We're pretty active with church stuff. Nobody gives us grief about that. But he drives a lot for work. And so he listens to a wide variety of things, including occasionally relevant radio. And not enough that he knows we're talking about him every week. But he's a scientist by training as well. And so we've had some interesting conversations about the life issue. And, you know, we don't talk a lot of hard theology, but one of the things I was just explaining to him that, okay, here's the church position on so many of these things, okay? Yeah. So it's not automatically a kind of right-wing conservative political stamp thing necessarily, and so there are maybe more points of commonality than he might have realized. And then one great breakthrough, I think last summer or so, kind of agreeing to make love be the default. If it's a conversation about a certain issue and maybe, you know, noting that both sides can't agree on it, well, until we get it all figured out, how about we try to do the most loving thing for that child in the womb, the most loving thing for that person trying to make their way out of trouble in Central America, etc. And that was something that happened to resonate with him.
You know, and that's the conversation that we're all going to have. If you go to our Relevant Radio podcasts up at relevantradio.com, go to the show page for Morning Air, you can download all of the podcasts, the individual hours of the program. And we were having a conversation in the last hour with Greg Erlandson, who's the director and editor-in-chief of Catholic News Service, about the debate in the church, which continues about whether to publicly deny pro-abortion politicians the Eucharist. And yes, that's at one level, politicians, and the other level is really our own family and friends, where we're going to have these conversations, because we've got family and friends. And chances are in your own parish, because just look at some of the numbers, where we've got people who are worshiping, who are receiving Eucharist, and who do support not only pro-abortion politicians, but may support pro-choice themselves. And so the role for you and me to be evangelists, the role for you and me to educate with clarity and charity what this is all about, That's, you know, that's another very important part of the evangelization. And so if you want to go back to our Relevant Radio website at relevantradio.com, go to the show page, and it's the second hour of today's show. It's Greg Erlandson talking about that. Melissa's joining us in Chicago this morning, 888-914-9149. Those stories about when you find yourself in a position where you're evangelizing, and it's just like breathing for you, and you realize after the fact, boy, the Holy Spirit was really at work there. And just, I was able to share my faith in a way, and nothing happened. In fact, I probably touched somebody else. Melissa, what happened to you? Welcome to Morning Air.
Good morning. Well, we always pray as a family before meals, and we don't forego that when we're out in public. And recently we took our 3-year-old granddaughter, my husband and I, on vacation with us, and we were staying at a resort. We were down having breakfast in the common area, and we said our prayers, and this lady next to us with this table full of children said, "I am so glad to see that somebody else prays in public." And we just started chatting, and she was Southern Baptist.
Wow.
And she said, "You know, I've always been curious about Mary and the rosary." And so we started talking about how powerful the rosary was, and, you know, about Jesus and Mary and how you can really come to know Jesus very deeply through Mary. And, you know, how Jesus, we just talked about, you know, you would never say no to your mother. Yeah. And we just were talking. And then she told us, because they were frequent visitors to this resort because of work. So then she told us about this excursion to go on that was, it was called, you know, it was with these parrots, but it was a faith-based thing. They had a garden walk with all the stations of the cross, and we would have never, ever found this place. So mm-hmm. it was so cool because she was interested in maybe little spark. I don't know, but just
I think that was a big spark, Melissa.
Things that we often yeah. do, you know.
And the other thing, do you find yourself in those situations when they just kind of pop up where you know more about your faith than perhaps you give yourself credit for, and at the same time you see where some of the gaps are in your faith that you need to
yeah.
fill in? So it's the Holy Spirit working on two levels at that moment in time in your life, Melissa.
Yes, definitely.
That's awesome, Melissa. Hey, thanks for sharing this morning. We appreciate it. God bless.
Thank you.
888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. What we're talking about this morning is those times when you find yourself in a position where you're evangelizing. And you didn't think about it. The Holy Spirit's just put you in one of those positions, and you're sharing your faith with someone else. Sunny's in Austin, Texas, listening to Relevant Radio 970. Sunny, good morning. Welcome to Morning Air. What happened to you when you found yourself evangelizing? What was going on?
Hey, good morning. This was totally unplanned. I was young. It's the time of a young parent. I certainly didn't think of myself as, you know, much of an evangelist, but I took my little son to this specific park because they had one of those old classic merry-go-rounds, you know, that you had to push. And so that's why I chose this playground, and I brought my Bible with me, and he was playing with his little Batman guy, and I was sitting on the bench reading the Bible, and this guy walks up to me and he says, "Man," I said to myself, "I just have to go talk to this guy who's over here reading the Bible." And I thought, okay, you know, and so I closed it, you know, gave him my attention. And he just starts hammering on the Catholic Church. He starts saying all of it started off kind of, you know, it with an interest. But then he just started talking about how Mary and Joseph, you know, weren't chaste, they had other kids and all these things that the Catholic Church was getting wrong. And this is not really typical of my personality. I'm kind of meaner than this, but for some reason I was just kind of acting like, well, you know, that's silly, and I just seemed so nice about all the stuff, and I was making the corrections, and I just happened to be able to do that because I had these little Catholic Answers pamphlets that
oh, yeah.
were around back at the time, and this kept going on, and a crowd started getting around, And the guy just kept getting like a little meaner with his stuff. And every time, for whatever reason, I was just, it was nicer. I wasn't argumentative at all. And when it was over, he eventually just said, "Well, I could see I'm not going getting through." And he just kind of storms off, like, you know, angrily. I mean, stomping even. And this guy comes up to me afterwards, and he sticks out his hand like he wants to shake his hand, my hand. And he says, "Hey, I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate those things that you were saying about the Catholic Church." He says, "I'm Catholic. These are my sons. They're altar servers. And I've just never heard anybody talk like that." And all of this is just happening in a public park, public playground.
Wow.
And then spontaneous.
Wow. How many people were around you by the time you had this conversation with this other gentleman?
I was about 7 to 10, but it felt like about 40 to me. Because I felt like I was put on the spot. And I can remember talking, you know, just instinctively talking to God at the time in my head, thinking, "I hope he doesn't ask something that I don't know about." But it was just easy because he kept on saying, you know, kind of silly things.
That's awesome. And now that's probably empowered you again. You know, when that happens again, you know, you're probably, as a result of that, I know it happens to me, Sonny, is you listen a little bit closer to what's on Relevant Radio. You listen a little bit closer and you have more of those aha moments with Patrick Madrid or Cale Clark or Father Simon during the day. And it's, okay. And I think that's where the Holy Spirit then starts expanding your hard drive, if you will, your spiritual hard drive, where you realize, wait a minute, I can store a lot more on here and probably should store a lot more on my spiritual hard drive, right?
That's exactly right. And the one thing that I've, now that we're talking and I'm realizing it, is through the years that those kind of situations have happened before, and the distinction between when it's gone well and when it's not is if I'm acting like I'm trying to prove a point, or if I'm coming across mm-hmm. too strong, that experience really hasn't happened. But when I'm looking at it as an act of love for my neighbor, like, okay, you know, I'm really listening to you. Like, I know that, you know, that you mentioned Patrick Madrid, I notice he does it a lot too. He sounds almost extra kind when the person is even in more error. And so I just, I've noticed that the more times when I'm loving about it or patient about it, as opposed to trying to say, well, one, because it's easy to take offense, especially if
sure.
you're, you know, saying something about the Catholic Church.
And isn't
and
that
so
where
more effective when that love is there?
And you know, you hit it right on the head. And Patrick does that every single day. As we talk about those moments when you found yourself sharing your faith in evangelizations and evangelizing others, 888-914-9149. What's happened to you? 888-914-9149. And Sonny, when you find yourself in those positions, and again, with clarity and charity, as we always say here on Relevant Radio, That's where you find yourself reaching more people. And in the broader scope, where there's always, you know, finger pointing, yelling, look at secular media, look at cable news, look at, you know, any other secular talk radio station. Everybody's yelling and screaming. Someone's always angry about something. And, you know, we have the opportunity, as you did in that park, to have the woman at the well moment, is to not only talk and converse, but listen at the same time and see where our common ground is.
And then the conversion happens on the spot.
And the conversion happens on the spot. There you go, Sonny. Glad you're out there converting souls. What park was that in Austin, by the way?
It was actually in Belton, Texas, and it was just the park of a school. And I went out of my way to go to that park just because it had one of those old merry-go-rounds that I remember from a kid. You hardly see them on parks anymore.
There you go. Your kids are very fortunate to have you as a dad. Tremendous witness. Sonny, thanks for adding so much to the program this morning. 888-914-9149. Those moments when you found yourself evangelizing, just simply sharing your faith. For Sonny, it was in a park. And for others, it was in a restaurant. Did you ever pray in a restaurant? Someone come up to you? In fact, that's what happened to one of our Relevant Radio listeners. And you know, it's always interesting, Glenn, when you do pray in a restaurant where you get, you know, you can almost see in your peripheral vision other people going, what's going on over there? You know, so you never know how those seeds of the Holy Spirit will be planted in people who see you pray and, you know, who just ask, you know, ask, or someone who asks what's going on. And, you know, are you prepared to answer that question? Sonny was prepared to answer that question. And that's, again, where we were talking about where we were talking about where "Come, Almost Holy Spirit, Come" is a prayer when you find yourself in those situations are answered almost immediately, right? Has that happened to you in a restaurant?
Well, one time we had discovered a great new Mexican restaurant and, going to pray. The chips came. We'd got our order in and, took a second to pray. And a waiter was walking by right as we finished and joined in and said, "Amen." I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah. All those little things. And those are those little opportunities, those times where the Holy Spirit, I think, opens the door. I was in line at the grocery store a couple of weeks ago and, one of the checkers, and it's the same story, so you know everybody. And I saw her wearing a little gold cross. And I said, "Boy, that's a very beautiful gold cross. Where did you get that?" And she said, "That was my first communion gift." Now, when's the last time you had a conversation about the Eucharist in an aisle in the supermarket, in the checkout aisle of the supermarket? I said, "Really?" I said, "May I ask when that was?" I said, "Mine was 1963. You can do the math on that." And she said, "Yeah, this was 25 years ago." And I said, "What was special about that day?" And she said, I've never really thought about that. So, we didn't go very far in the conversation. Do you still practice your faith or not? But just leaving her with the, I have to think about that, was just, I think planting the seeds of the Holy Spirit, which I realized when I was walking to the car. But it's just normal to talk about your faith. At least it's for us. And I think some of our Relevant Radio family think that you and I do that all the time when we're not on the radio. But it doesn't necessarily happen all the time. But I think in what you learn at Relevant Radio by listening to Patrick Madrid and the other programs makes it normal, Glenn, right? To talk about your faith.
And to the degree we can make it normal and not uncomfortable. I mean, that can be a trick, especially depending on the situation. But the more we can do that, the better. I think of a priest who had served in Mexico for a while talking about how the culture there, it's more mixed together than it is here, where you walk into a bank and you might see, this is in Mexico, walk into a bank and you might see a crucifix on the wall.
Right.
And you probably won't see that in a bank here, but to the degree that we can kind of mix our faith and culture, that makes it seem more normal, and that's makes it so much easier to live it out.
One of the funniest moments of evangelization, small e, when my mom was still alive and the physical therapists were coming to the house after yet another time in the hospital, and this one physical therapist who had not been to the house before walks in, and right in the foyer of the house, there's my dad's this carved statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, there's a crucifix, and she looks at it and she says, "Oh, are you like a priest or something?" And I said, "Well, I'm actually more something than anything else." I said, "No, I'm not, but this is what I do." I said, "Are you a Christian?" So we actually started talking, and she was not a Christian, didn't believe in anything, but we had that conversation just based on her reaction to seeing the statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the crucifix. Think about that. Again, seeds of the Holy Spirit. We'll have another one of these conversations, love them, about how you find yourselves in those positions to evangelize. In fact, we'll probably continue the conversation with Father Rocky. He's coming up next. Father Francis Hoffman, our executive director here at Relevant Radio, 888-914-9149 for your questions of faith with Father Rocky coming up. And that's right after we hear today's gospel reading from the 10th chapter of Mark on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
This is today's gospel reading from the New American Bible.
Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 31. Peter began to say to Jesus, "We have given up everything and followed you." Jesus said, "Amen, I say to you, there is no one who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or lands for my sake and for the sake of the gospel, who will not receive 100 times more now in this present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and eternal life in the age to come. But many that are first will be last, and the last will be first."
You can find all the daily readings at relevantradio.com/gospel or tap the prayer tab on the Relevant Radio app.
The most meaningful and joyful half hour of prayer you could imagine.
I'd like to pray for my parents because tonight is their 20th wedding anniversary. and you guys are home alone without your parents.
Yeah.
The happiest half hour of your day.
Well, I'm hungry. Yeah. I'm going to have dinner later.
Yeah, well, don't talk about it. It'll make you more hungry.
Well, that's good advice, William.
The Family Rosary Across America with Father Rocky.
Happy birthday.
Oh, that was sweet. You.
7 p.m. Central on Relevant Radio.
I know I've talked about them before, but I can't say enough to show my appreciation for Carmelite Sisters. Hello, I'm Father James Kubicki, and I really believe that one of the reasons I'm a Jesuit priest and have persevered in that vocation for almost 38 years is because of the prayers of cloistered Carmelite nuns who devote themselves to prayer for priests. Today we honor one of them, St. Mary Magdalene de Pazzi, an Italian Carmelite who lived around the year 1600. She's a true study in contrasts, who experienced both the heights and the depths of the spiritual life. What were those heights? Great consolations from God, gifts of prayer and healing, and even mystical gifts like the stigmata. What were those depths? Things we don't usually associate with saints. First, terrible temptations to lust and gluttony. And then there were physical illnesses, including one that forced her to remain bedridden for the last 3 years of her life. But she knew the secret of offering it up. She offered to God through Jesus her own spiritual, emotional, and physical sufferings, joining them to the passion and death of Jesus for the salvation of all people. Having just celebrated Pentecost, let's close with a little prayer of hers. Come, Holy Spirit, Spirit of truth, you are the reward of the saints, the comforter of souls, light in the darkness, riches to the poor, comfort to those who are wandering. To sum up, you are the one in whom all treasures are contained. Come, as you descended upon Mary, that the Word might become flesh. Work in us through grace, as you worked in her.
Welcome home. Welcome back home to the church, Sue. That's so wonderful. What was it for you, if you don't mind my asking, that sort of flipped the switch and after being away for so long caused you to decide to come back home?
I've been listening to Relevant Radio, man.
Become an evangelist.
And that's what brought me back.
It's as easy as giving a financial gift to Relevant Radio.
Touch a heart and change a soul by making a donation to Relevant Radio today.
Donate now on the Relevant Radio website or app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio Line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester.
Good morning, 29 before the hour. It's morning air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. John and Glenn, blessed to have Father Rocky with us. Father Francis Hoffman, our Relevant Radio Executive Director. Father, we were saying, I think the Holy Spirit is going to save us a little bit on the electric bill because the Holy Spirit's been so on fire on this program. It's powering the transmitters all across the country. As the dispensation was lifted in my diocese, the church was filled the way it was pre-pandemic, and it was just so great on the Feast of the Pentecost to see people and to feel the Holy Spirit alive in our parish, Father.
You know, it's a great thing to see, and you know, we saw that about a month ago at the Walk to Mary on May 1st, not even a month ago, three weeks ago. There were so many people turned out to the Walk to Mary from the Natural Shrine of St. Joseph at the College of St. Norbert in De Pere, Wisconsin, out to the Shrine of Our Lady of Good Help out in the countryside, oh, about 20 minutes northeast of Green Bay, where the Blessed Mother appeared back in 1859. So 2 years ago, which is the last time we had that Walk to Mary, physically, there were about 1,800 people who participated. This year, it was up to 2,700, so it was like a 40% increase, almost a 50% increase. And what we noticed from that is that people are hungry for God. You know, they miss going to church. They miss being together with other people. So this is great news now as it seems that the COVID pandemic is winding down, that the vaccination program is rolled out very effectively throughout the country. Plus, a lot of people had COVID, so they're no longer contagious, and the numbers are dropping down to as low as we've seen it since in the first couple of weeks of the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And people are eager to get back to Mass. I was at a wedding on Saturday, and people were very happy to be there. And so now as all of society opens up, the churches open up, the dispensations are ending. And people will ask the question, well, what is a dispensation? Do I have to go to Mass? Why do I go to Mass? These are good questions to ask. So in the early days of the pandemic, you know, they were making the distinction about what kind of functions in society were essential. You know, so like fire and police and transportation and food and groceries and things that were not essential. We made that distinction. And I was saying very early on, hey, wait a second, sacraments are essential. I mean, certainly food for the body is essential because without food, you're going to die. But the body doesn't live forever. The soul does live forever, and the soul needs grace. And the source of that grace, normally, the way Jesus has set it up, is the sacramental system. So a sacrament is an outward sign instituted by Christ to give grace. And there are a couple of really kind of very strongly convicting phrases in the New Testament. Jesus said, unless you're baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. So baptism is necessary. And that's why we baptize our children soon after they're born. We don't wait for a year or 5 or 10 years, because if the poor child dies without getting baptized, we don't know how the child can be saved, because Jesus said, unless you're baptized with water and the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. That doesn't mean God can't save them, right? The church has been very clear on that, but we don't know how that happens except through his power and his mercy. And then later in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, Jesus said very clearly, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life. So the Holy Eucharist is essential. So that's one of the reasons why we go to Mass on Sunday. But there's also a deeper reason, sort of a prior reason, and that is the third commandment that God gave to Moses on top of the mount. He said, remember to keep the Lord's day holy. Keep the Lord's day holy. So the first three commandments about God: I am the Lord your God, you shall have no false gods before me. Second, do not take the Lord's name in vain. In other words, as we approach God, it should be with reverence and awe. And third is remember to keep the Lord's day holy, the Sabbath day holy. And the way we keep the Lord's day holy is we attend Mass, because Mass essentially is an opportunity to thank God for our blessings. And people are happier when they're grateful. And there's so much to thank God for. And that's why we go to Mass on Sundays. It's a serious obligation. And it doesn't always apply. So like if you're sick, you don't have to go to Mass. Or if there's a danger of contagion during an epidemic, like we've just seen, you don't have to go to Mass. Or if there's a higher duty of charity, there's an emergency at home, you have to take care of the elderly or children, then you don't have to go to Mass. But normally we go to Mass. That's one way we keep the Sabbath day holy. And the other way we keep it holy is to rest from our ordinary work. Right, God does not want us working, 7 days of the week. Now, a person doing garden work on a Sunday might find that restful because the rest of the week they're in the office. Whereas a person doing garden work Monday through Saturday would rather sit home and just read a book, right? But we need to take that time off. So it's great to see in last Sunday, Pentecost Sunday, so many churches. Well, I think all the restrictions are going to be eliminated just a couple weeks, because the numbers are dropping very quickly. Thanks be to God.
Yes. Father Rocky with us this morning. Our number is 888-914-9149. Cynthia just sent us email. She just got into work. She heard your conversation about baptism. And this is a question that we get quite often, is how can lay people baptize in an emergency, Father?
Sure. Well, the sacrament of baptism is so vitally important that any person can give the sacrament of baptism or baptize another person if that person wants it and if that person believes in Jesus Christ and wants to be baptized in the Catholic faith. So there may be a situation where a child is born and it looks like the child is not going to make it, and you do not have time for the priest to come over to the emergency room, the nurse, the doctor, the father, the mother can baptize a child. All you need is natural water, right? And then you pour the water over the forehead of the child and say, I baptize you, you give them the name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Here's what's so fascinating. The person doing the baptism doesn't even have to be baptized himself, does not even have to be a Catholic. But you can't baptize yourself. Somebody else has to do it. They have to pour the natural water. It can be fresh water or salt water, you know, so don't worry about that. You know, you could be by an oceanside or something like that. And that's how vitally important it is. And normally, you know, when there's not an emergency situation, the parents will attend some classes in their parish beforehand so that they're properly prepared, that they understand the responsibility they're taking. And they can be encouraged to give a good example to the children and raising them up in the faith. In fact, when people get married in the church, they're asked those questions. Will you accept children lovingly from God and to the best of your ability bring them up in the Catholic faith? And both the husband and the wife have to say in the presence of the whole church, I will, you know, and everybody's got to hear that. That's a very serious commitment. And sometimes you have to remind people the commitments they made. And so that's a good email question. And, you know, we're so blessed that we have this possibility of being children of God through the grace of the sacrament.
And one more question about baptism, Father. Talk about the importance of choosing godparents and the role of the godparent in raising that child in the faith.
Right. So the technical term you're going to find in the Code of Canon Law, at least in English, is sponsor. And the preference now is that the sponsor for baptism be also your sponsor for confirmation.
Really?
Now, yep. So and most people don't know that, right? But you can see that it makes sense because there's three sacraments of initiation: baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. Normally, in the Latin Rite, that's what you and I are part of, in the Latin Rite of the Catholic Church, those sacraments are separated by years. Baptism when you're a child, Holy Communion when you're about 8 years old, and confirmation sometimes after. Now, in the Orthodox churches and in the Eastern Rites of the Church, they give all three sacraments at the same time: baptism, Holy Eucharist, and confirmation. So you would make sense that your sponsor for baptism would be the same thing as your sponsor for confirmation. But the idea here is that the parents of the child should choose two people, a man and a woman, who can be the godparents to that child in case the parents are not able to do their duty. Now, this was something which was taken very seriously 80 years ago at the outbreak of World War II, when young people were getting married, they were conceiving children, and the husband would go off to war. And, you know, it was a likely situation that he may not come back. And so you wanted to choose usually relatives or very good friends who took their faith seriously. Mm-hmm. So, hey, in case I can't raise this kid in the faith, will you step in? That's what a godparent is to do. Now, the requirements of that is that at least one of them has to be 16 years old or older, having been confirmed and practicing the faith, right? The other one doesn't necessarily have to be fit those conditions. Normally, it's not your brother or sister, but sometimes in big families it is because, hey, the kids are coming quickly. They don't have much time to organize things, and the parents say, hey, can the older brothers and sisters be the godparents? And the priest says, yeah, that's right. Now, it's not absolutely necessary to have a godparent for the baptism. That's not part of the essence of the sacrament, but it is a great practice, and normally we should do it. And it shouldn't be just honorific. Like, boy, if I don't choose this person, their feelings are going to be hurt.
Right.
That's not the way to approach it. Although I get it. You know, I get
right.
it. No, we need to choose people who live the faith, love the faith, are going to really help that child grow in the faith. And people say, well, what do you do after the baptism of the child? Pray for the child every day.
Yeah.
Say Hail Mary for them every day. Maybe during the month of May, invite them to go on a pilgrimage to Our Lady. And call them up from time to time, but pray for them every day. Try to give them a good example of yourself living the faith. All right. So it's if we really reflect on it and take it seriously, It's a very important duty, and it's a great honor.
I remember when I was little, my godfather, my uncle Edward, and when you know, mom and dad had something to do, and then had to babysit or spend the night, and it was usually a Saturday night into Sunday, and then you know, going to mass with him. And I remember being probably 7 or 8 years old, father, and seeing his reverence as he prayed. You know, that was new to me as a 7 or 8 year old. It was like, wow, look at that. Because my only sphere was mom and dad. Sure. But to see your godfather in that, it's like, that was powerful.
Kids notice those things. We all notice those things. But children are very, very perceptive. And that's where we have a responsibility to give them a good example. I remember when St. John Paul went back to his little village where he was born and raised in Wadowice, Poland, towards the end of his life, the journalist approached him and said, now you're back in your hometown. Can you share anything with us about your parents that you'd like to share with us? And, you know, he thought and, you know, he kind of groaned like he does, right? And then he said, well, my mom died when I was young. I lived with my dad and we would sleep upstairs. But I remember sometimes when he couldn't sleep, he would go downstairs to the living room and kneel on the kneeler in front of the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and pray. And then the Pope said, and that helps me now. He always had that example of his father, who was a man of prayer. And it's also true that his father, when he was a youngster, taught him about being devoted to the Holy Spirit when he served Mass. And those are things that he never forgot. So as parents, as adults, we have this duty to try to give good example to youngsters because they notice everything. And at the same time, we can learn from them. I learn every night. When the youngsters call in for the Family Rosary Across America with their purity, their faith, their belief. And I'm convinced if we can have more and more youngsters praying the rosary with their family, in our lifetime, we're going to see the end to legal abortion. And so it was last Tuesday, right, the 18th, the day before, on the 17th, the Supreme Court of the United States announced that they're going to take a case out of Mississippi, which could lead to restricting abortion availability or even eliminating that possibility. This would be huge because we know it's not going to go away. You know, it's a very contentious issue, it's a very divisive issue in our country, and more young people are pro-life. Well, I said, well, when I really kind of figured out what was going on, I said, gee, this is huge. This is the biggest case that's come to the Supreme Court in 30 years. And now you have Amy Coney Barrett and others on the Supreme Court that we have every indication that they are pro-life and they're very articulate, they're intelligent, all that. And so there's hope that there could be a legal remedy to redress this grave injustice, which is tearing apart the fabric of our country. And I thought, well, now we have to pray even more. And I realized this case is going to be adjudicated by the Supreme Court in October of 2021. October is the month of the Rosary. It's also Respect Life Month. In the past 10 or 15 years, the Supreme Court announces their decisions the following June. They don't always do that. And I'm thinking last week of June 2022, that's Sunday, June 26th. June 26th is the Feast of St. Jose Maria. So tomorrow, the 18th, is the birth of St. John Paul. He was a great champion of life. And I said, okay, well, let's pray the Rosary every day from the 18th of May.
Sure.
2021 until Sunday, the 26th of June, and I counted up, so that's 405 days. And I said, we're starting a 405-day
novena.
And people said, I thought novena was nine. I said, yeah, but, you know, we kind of stretch it in the Catholic sense.
There's some multiple of nine that gets to 405.
There is. Well, it's 7 1/4, 54-day rosary novenas. So anyway, tonight... As of last night, there are 399 days left, and you know we're praying for the end to legal abortion in our country, and I really think it's just possible. But we have to get a lot of people praying for this, right?
Yeah.
We have to mobilize the forces. It's sort of a Horton Hears a Who moment, and you know you don't have to be holy to pray the rosary. You just have to show up. You don't even have to be Catholic to pray the rosary.
Right.
You can be 4 years old. You can be 94. It's just everybody does their little part, and we win God's grace. So that's a very it's a very important moment in our history. And people think, well, you know, if abortion ends in our country, do you think that will lead to war? I don't think it will. I think there'll be a huge collective sigh of relief and exhaustion from this culture of death. I don't think it's going to be as cataclysmic as people might think, because what makes people happy is life, babies, smiles, joy, grace, right?
Pray That Rosary with Father Aki tonight, 7 o'clock Central, the Family Rosary across America, 7 nights a week. Only one place where you can get that, right here on Relevant Radio. Feast of the Corpus Christi, your calls. We continue with Father Aki. Our time now is 13 before on Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
We need to see each child as a gift to be welcomed, cherished, and protected.
Did you know that at 26 weeks, an unborn baby's eyes open?
Hi, this is Father Simon. Please join Relevant Radio in our hourly Memorare campaign for an end to abortion and the protection of all human life from conception to natural death. Our next goal is 400 million Memorares. At your Memorare for Life at relevantradio.com.
Hi, this is Bishop David Ricken of the Diocese of Green Bay. Let us pray. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto thee, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thy mercy, hear and answer me. Amen.
Support provided by Ave Maria University. Ave Maria, Latin for Hail Mary, recalls the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary of her future vocation, becoming the Mother of God. Enriched by God's grace, Mary freely assents to this call. This is the model for all students. Come to Ave Maria University, where we offer a liberal arts curriculum buoyed by the sacraments. This empowers you to clearly see your vocational call, whatever that call might be. Visit avemaria.edu.
The Most Reverend Salvatore J. Corleone, Archbishop of San Francisco, has released a deeply moving and important letter to the souls under his pastoral care. Titled, Before I Formed You in the Womb, I Knew You. It fosters the human dignity of the unborn, Holy Communion, and Catholics in public life. Read this letter at inthewomb.org. Inthewomb.org. A message of support from the Archdiocese of San Francisco.
I'm gay, but I since the pandemic, I've returned to the church.
At the intersection of faith and culture.
You mentioned that you've come back to the Catholic Church. That makes me very happy to hear that.
Let me just say, I'm crying. Come home.
The Patrick Madrid Show.
I've never felt not welcome to the church, and I've never felt the Catholics I've ever dealt with have been nothing but loving and compassionate to anybody of any sort.
That is a very good point.
8 a.m. Central on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/forester. 10 before the hour, Morning Air on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. Father Aki with us this morning. Father Francis Hoffman, our Relevant Radio Executive Director. We've talked about so many things. Godparents, we've talked about baptism, making an emergency baptism. And Dominic is on Staten Island. Dominic's a longtime listener of Relevant Radio, Father. He's got a question about baptism. Dominic, good morning. You're on with Father.
Hi, Dominic.
Good morning, guys. I remember Father Aki got lost in Staten Island. I remember that. That's number one. And thank you for everyday church, every day. It's fantastic. Here's the question I have. There's a lady who gave me a statue of the Blessed Mother. She's a Jewish woman. She wants to convert. Now, can I baptize her? Is that possible?
Well, normally you wouldn't unless it's an emergency. So this good friend of yours who's Jewish, and she wanted a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, which is a beautiful sign. If she's healthy and it's not an emergency, she should go through her parish program, the local parish, which is called the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. But let's say She's in a situation where she's about to die, and she's not had a chance to be baptized yet. Then in that situation, right. You could, but it's only, as they say, in danger of death. Because in danger of death, all bets are off. You know, we really want the salvation of souls. And besides, she would like to learn more and more about the Catholic faith. One great way for her to do it is for her to download the Relevant Radio app and listen to our shows throughout the day. She's going to learn a ton. She'd probably like Father Simon a lot because he lives in a Jewish neighborhood in Skokie. There you go. Hey, I remember Staten Island. We were driving the expressway there listening to 1430 AM, and I said, man, it comes in loud and clear. Look how wide this expressway is. Look how big the traffic jams. This is going to be great out here. I love it. Dominic.
I remember your story. I really do. You got lost in Staten Island.
Oh, my goodness. Dominic, what a great city.
Dominic, thank you and God bless. Thanks for listening and supporting Relevant Radio with Father Rocky this morning, 888-914-9149. Corey's in the Twin Cities. Corey, good morning. You're on with Father. Welcome to Morning Air.
Hi, Corey.
Good morning. Oh, good morning. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about different denominations with baptism. I have 8 godchildren, and I was Protestant for the first 3. And then converted to Catholicism. And I'm just wondering, for my godchildren who are not Catholic, is there an obligation to try to convert them to the Catholic faith? The oldest one I'm very worried about because she's really getting into metaphysics and that type of thing. But then even my youngest godchild is Protestant, and I'm wondering if that's okay that I accepted that responsibility being Catholic.
Sure. Okay, so your godmother to 8 godchildren, that's like a record. That's great. That means your family and friends really look up to you, Corey. Are all the godchildren baptized in outside of the Catholic Church, or some of them baptized into the Catholic Church?
5 are Protestant and 3 are Catholic.
Okay, so then your concern is, and you were the godmother for the 3 Catholics before you were Catholic, right?
While I was Catholic.
Oh, while you were Catholic. Okay, good. Mm-hmm. Well, first thing is they're all baptized validly. I'm going to assume that if they followed the Trinitarian formula, which normally the Protestant churches do, and use water pouring over the head or immersion. And the Trinitarian form is very simple. I baptize you give them their name, Mary, Joe, whatever it might be, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You are their godmother. They are validly baptized. And yes, you should work and pray for bringing them into the fullness of the faith. But since they're baptized, we don't call it a conversion, right? Because they're already Christian. This is a very common misunderstanding out there that when a Protestant becomes a Catholic, they've gone through a conversion. No, they've been accepted into the fullness of the church, but they've already converted when they were baptized because they believe Jesus Christ is God. So now you say the oldest one is getting into metaphysics. That might not be bad. If it's the metaphysics of St. Thomas Aquinas based on Aristotle and Plato, that might be a great way to begin, but I don't know more about that subject. But the best thing you can do, Corey, is to be their friend, love them, be joyful, reach out to them, and pray for them every day. And if you pray for them every day in the rosary, I am convinced one way or another, by one path or another, they're going to come into the fullness of the faith. I've seen it happen time and time and again. And so I'd encourage you to join us in the evening at 7 p.m. for the Family Rosary Across America. You've got 8 godchildren. You can offer up the decades for each one of them. And clearly, you're in a position of great influence among these families because they've chosen you. And you can share with them what you love about the Catholic faith and to the degree that they want to hear it, right? And I think this is really important. I call it the gospel according to you, why you believe Jesus Christ is God, why you believe the Catholic faith has the fullness of the faith, why you believe that your guardian angel helped you. We had that woman call in last night of the Family Rosary Across America. She said, I had a miracle. I tripped and fell down the stairs last week. I broke my neck. I was listening to the rosary. They took me to the hospital. They couldn't explain it.
And I think it was the rosary. I said, that and probably your guardian angel got underneath you right before you hit the floor, and he probably broke his wing. So you need to reach out to your guardian angel. But I said, we need to share these stories. I have a person I know who went on the 21-mile walk to Mary, and he told me the other day, he said, I think I got a miracle. You know, I was praying for reconciliation in my family, and this had gone on for years. And all of a sudden, all of the problems disappeared. He said, it's got to be that 21-mile walk to Mary that we did. I said, it probably is. That's what I tell people you need to do. If you need a miracle, you got a big issue, you want to give thanks, do that, you know, because it's all your whole body, heart, and soul getting into it, and God responds to that. So, Corey, you're in a great situation where you can share your faith with the others and love them a lot and be joyful. Remember them on their birthdays and their special days and tell them, you know, how much you love them.
Corey, thanks. Thanks for listening in the Twin Cities to Relevant Radio 1330. We're almost out of time. I wish we had more time to talk about Corpus Christi because it's such a beautiful feast, a body of Christ, you know, where we really, that's the belief in the body and blood of Christ, the real presence in the Eucharist. Because I know you've spent so much time in Mexico, and the devotion of the Mexican people to Corpus Christi is extraordinary and something that we can all learn about. We've got 60 seconds. Can you give us 60 seconds?
So coming up a week from this Thursday is the Feast of Corpus Christi, although in our country we usually celebrate it 4 days later on that Sunday. But look in the bulletin of your parish this weekend, see if they're doing anything special for Corpus Christi. They may have a procession on Thursday the 3rd or on Sunday the 6th. If they do, try to go and be part of that procession. It's a way for us to give glory and praise to God. Your soul will be greatly rewarded. I know here in the Chicago area at St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale, there will be a Corpus Christi procession on Thursday, June 3rd. And it's a beautiful, beautiful procession, very well organized, from St. Isaac Jogues Parish in Hinsdale to Notre Dame Parish in Clarendon Hills. Father Bill DeSalvo does a great job. I hope to be there myself. Let's pray for good weather. I think the Mass is the 6th, the procession is the 7th. And they do this in Rome as well. So for all of you listening, find out in your parish bulletin what they're doing for Corpus Christi. If they got something special going on, I want to encourage you to participate in it and even volunteer maybe to help with the setup or with the procession itself. So those are my thoughts, John. Thank you so much.
Our time goes by so fast. Father Francis Hoffman is our Relevant Radio executive producer, executive director. The Holy Spirit's the executive producer of this show, and I don't think that's we're going to replace him on that. Father, thanks and God bless.
God bless, John. Thank you so much.
Take care. Patrick Madrid coming up next. It's a minute before the hour now here on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app.